I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout. Today is Friday, October 16th. What to know today about President Trump and Joe Biden going head-to-head from 1,200 miles away, some of the takeaways from their competing town halls, and why Biden's running mate Kamala Harris has canceled weekend travel to be safe. Plus, the first Ebola treatment approved, new diversity goals at Starbucks, and Tony nominations celebrating the best of Broadway, even while theaters are shut down. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. President Trump and Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden squared off last night, sort of. They answered different questions in different town halls, Trump from Miami and Biden from Philadelphia, but at the same time. First, let's get into some of the details from the Trump event. It was a pretty tense one, since the president was challenged on a lot of contentious issues. On COVID-19, a voter asked Trump whether getting COVID-19 changed his mind on effectiveness of masks, since Trump has raised doubts about them in the past. Trump said it had not. He also said a recent study found 85% of people who wear masks still get the virus. But that's not quite right. The CDC study Trump was referring to only looked at people who had already gotten COVID-19, finding that 85% of them said they wore masks often or always in the 2 weeks before they got sick. But that percentage doesn't include any people who have stayed healthy. So in other words, the study doesn't mean that 85% of all mask wearers will get sick. And to be extra clear, the CDC does say wearing a face covering is one of the best ways to protect yourself, at least for now, since there's not a vaccine yet. Also, at last night's town hall, President Trump seemed to acknowledge the debt the New York Times exposed with a series of investigative reports last month. When asked about it, Trump said it's possible some of the money is owed to a foreign bank, but he made it clear that he doesn't owe any money to Russia or any, quote, sinister people. Trump also suggested that being $400 million in debt is a very small percentage compared to his overall net worth. Now let's talk about the Biden event, since he also touched on some hot-button issues. One was about adding justices to the Supreme Court. Biden did not give a clear answer. He said he was not a fan of the idea, but also seemed open to it, saying he would release an official stance soon before Election Day. At another moment in the town hall, Biden was asked about a 1994 crime bill he supported while he was a senator. Critics say it led to more black people being sent to prison. And last night, Biden did say that parts of it were a mistake, like the mandatory minimum sentences for drug offenses. But he also defended it, saying the idea was supposed to be about giving same time for the same crime, no matter who was being sentenced. But Biden said states didn't always execute it that way. While they held separate events last night, the two candidates will share the same stage once again next week. The final presidential debate is set to happen next Thursday in Nashville, Tennessee. Democratic vice presidential candidate Kamala Harris is taking a break from the campaign trail because two of her staff and crew tested positive for COVID-19. It's her communications director and a member of the flight crew. So travel is on hold until at least Monday. The campaign says neither of those who tested positive had contact with Senator Harris in recent days, but weekend trips were canceled anyway just to be safe. Meanwhile, across the country, new cases and hospitalizations are surging. Reuters counts 9 states, including Michigan and North Carolina, that reported record one-day increases of new cases yesterday. And the Wall Street Journal reports hospitalizations have also hit records this week in places like Wisconsin, the Dakotas, and Utah. Deaths have not gone up yet. They usually lag behind new cases and hospitalizations, though, so it's possible that will come next. Still, it's always important to note that most people will recover from the virus. So far, about 2.7% of reported cases in the U.S. have been deadly. A controversial article in the New York Post points to what it calls a, quote, smoking gun email about Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden and his son Hunter. But to be clear, no one has independently verified the accuracy of this email. The email appears to be from a Ukrainian official that once paid Biden's son, Hunter, and it thanks Hunter for setting up a meeting with then-Vice President Biden back in 2015, which, if that meeting actually happened, could be a major conflict of interest. But here's the thing. Even if the email is legitimate, at this point, there's no evidence any meeting took place. A Biden campaign spokesman says they reviewed Biden's official schedule from that time and there was no such meeting. The campaign is also calling this a Russian disinformation attempt. The email apparently was given to the New York Post by President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. And the Washington Post reports U.S. intelligence officials warned the White House last year that Giuliani was the target of a Russian operation. It's also worth noting, multiple investigations by both Republicans and Democrats into accusations surrounding Hunter Biden have shown no evidence that his father, Joe Biden, broke the law. One report found the situation with Biden's son working in Ukraine was sometimes awkward and not ideal while Biden was VP, but there was nothing found that was illegal. Either way, this has led to another controversy now. Links to the article were removed on some social media platforms, and that has led to backlash. Some Republicans accused Twitter and Facebook of censorship of conservative views. In fact, this issue could end up on Capitol Hill next week. The Wall Street Journal now reports Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee plan to subpoena Twitter's CEO. To be continued. Thousands of people in Northern California are waking up in the dark. Pacific Gas and Electric cut power to more than 45,000 customers, mainly in the San Francisco Bay Area and Sierra Nevada foothills. About 100,000 people are affected. This is the third time in less than 2 months PG&E purposely cut power. The idea is this prevents power lines and other equipment from sparking wildfires when conditions are prime for them to grow out of control. The San Francisco Bay Area is dealing with warmer than usual weather and high winds. The National Weather Service says temperatures could reach triple digits in part of the state today. Remember, this has already been a devastating wildfire season for California. Cal Fire says more than 4.1 million acres have burned so far this year. But it's also worth noting some new tech is helping out. The Los Angeles Fire Department is now the first in the country to have a certain kind of firefighting robot. In Gadget Reports, the robot is about the size of a smart car. It looks like a miniature tank and can be controlled remotely. It's supposed to be able to blast through walls and spray up to 2,500 gallons of water per minute. More news ahead, but first, thanks to our sponsor today, Magic Spoon. Magic Spoon is the guilt-free adult cereal. It's high protein, low carb, and still has a great sweet and delicious taste. There are flavors like fruity and frosted that will remind you of the cereals that you used to love as a kid, but this time you don't have to worry about all the sugar. And some of my favorite flavors are from the limited time Nutty Box. It comes with honey nut and peanut butter. The peanut butter tastes like a peanut butter cookie, and honey nut tastes like a bowl of actual honey. Yet Magic Spoon has zero sugar, 11 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. It's also great for those looking for keto-friendly, gluten-free, GMO-free, soy-free, and grain-free. So get yours at magicspoon.com/newsworthy and be sure to use our promo code newsworthy at checkout to get free shipping. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/newsworthy and use the code newsworthy for free shipping. Now back to the news. The FDA approved the world's first treatment for Ebola. This is a huge step in the fight against one of the most deadly viruses in the world. The new treatment is from Regeneron. It's a mixture of 3 antibodies that block the virus. It can be used on both children and adults, and the FDA says it dramatically improves the odds of survival. And that's big, too, since Ebola can kill up to 90% of those who are infected. The drug was first tested back in 2018 in the middle of an outbreak in Central Africa. And that was a first for scientists. Before that, health experts assumed you couldn't run a trial during an active crisis because resources would be spread too thin. But the Ebola trial helped prove it could be done. And now researchers are using what they learned to actively test COVID-19 treatments in the middle of our current pandemic. Women's marches are making a comeback in Washington, D.C. and hundreds of other cities around the U.S. this weekend. At most of them, marchers will focus on the Supreme Court nomination of Amy Coney Barrett. One organizer told the Washington Post, most marchers feel Barrett would not stick up for them and their lives. They also want to urge Americans to vote President Trump out of office. So more than 400 events are planned in all 50 states. In Washington, D.C., several thousand people are expected to rally in person. The city is allowing it, even during the pandemic. But unlike previous years, march organizers will not be busing in protesters from other cities. There are also some virtual events planned as well. And there are counter-protests scheduled, too. At the Supreme Court, there's an I'm With Her rally planned in support of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. In fact, Barrett is seen as an icon among some conservative women. Those organizers say they want to send the message that women's march participants do not speak for all women. YouTube is the latest tech giant to crack down on QAnon. And this one is a big deal since the New York Times says YouTube played a bigger role than most in seeding the conspiracy theory. The company said yesterday it's changing its policies to ban content promoting QAnon. Remember, the conspiracy theory claims President Trump is a secret warrior fighting against a child trafficking ring that's run by celebrities and government officials. The FBI has debunked the theory, but some people have kept sharing it anyway. Now YouTube says it's worried QAnon and other conspiracy theories could lead to real-world violence. Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest have also cracked down on QAnon in recent weeks and months as well. Starbucks wants to diversify its workforce, and it'll use money as an incentive to make it happen. The coffee chain says it's going to tie its executives' pay to diversity targets. It didn't go into much more detail about the pay structure, but it did roll out several new goals. It says by 2025, it wants 30% of its corporate employees and 40% of its retail and manufacturing employees to be people of color. The Wall Street Journal reports Starbucks will also require executives to take anti-bias training, and it will launch a mentorship program to connect employees of color to senior leadership. It's worth noting other major companies have also stepped up to focus more on diversity this year. For example, Adidas says at least 30% of its new positions will be filled by Black or Latinx people, while both Microsoft and Wells Fargo have announced plans to double Black leadership. The nominees for this year's Tony Awards are in, celebrating the best of Broadway, even though Broadway has been shut down since March. This year, the musical Jagged Little Pill got the most nominations with 15, followed by Moulin Rouge, the musical, at 14. Meanwhile, the play called Slave Play made history. It was nominated for a dozen awards, which is the most of any play in Tony history. Though because of the shutdowns, only 18 shows were considered versus 34 last year. There's also no word yet on when the actual Tony Awards will be, although Deadline reports organizers are thinking December. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Feel Good Friday, when we bring you one extra feel-good or positive news story before the weekend. And today's Feel Good Friday is actually about one of our very own listeners. Her name is Shaletta Brundage. She lives in Minnesota, but put together a donation drive for kids in Louisiana since people there are still recovering from multiple hurricanes this year. The mission was close to her heart, too. Five of her family members died during Hurricane Laura in August. So to honor their legacy, she started collecting items for kids. She gathered more than 1,000 children's books, including copies of ones she wrote called Karen Goes to School. She collected hundreds of stuffed animals for the kids as well, loaded them all up in an RV, and traveled to Louisiana. And today, she'll start handing them out. She says she just wants to put a smile on the kids' faces and give them a little bit of hope. All right, thank you so much for listening today. A big thanks to those of you who have already gotten your unique referral link and have been sharing out the show. Remember, just go to thenewsworthy.com/referral to get your link and get paid to share The Newsworthy. All right, we'll be back with our special edition Saturday episode tomorrow about the Supreme Court and another news roundup on Monday. Until then, have a great day.